listeners. I'm Jack Rowland, and welcome to In Too Deep. Today I'm joined by one of my favorite musicians, Tess Parks.
Who do you want now? Who do you want to be? I am everyone. You are nothing. Who do you want to be?
This song is titled German Tangerine, a collaboration between Tess Parks and Anton Newcombe from the album I Declare Nothing. Tess's dreamy guitar riffs and her husky singing voice is everything I love about psych rock. Tess has released two collaborative albums and an EP with Anton Newcombe, featured in multiple tracks with the Brian Jones Sound Massacre, and has just released her second solo album titled And Those Who Were Seen Dancing. Alright, I hope you guys enjoyed this chat with Tess Parks. Good morning.
Hey.
How are
you?
You're
a painter.
I am a painter, yeah. And so are you.
I am now, I guess.
Yeah. No, absolutely love your paintings, by the way. They kind of came as a surprise.
Right? Yeah. It was like this dormant artist that like disappeared when she was 9.
Right.
And then came back in 2020.
Yeah. Have you?
And now I'm like obsessed with it.
Really? Is that some of your works in the background?
Yeah. Here, I'll show you some. I've been giving a lot of away to friends. And I forget what some of it looks like, but I should maybe have a gallery show before I give it all away.
Wow, I love your space. It's so colorful. That is fantastic.
Well,
really beautiful.
If I unplug my finger, it unplugs, but.
Wow, you are busy. You are busy.
Yeah, well, that's why I guess, time is like weird to me now because.
Oh, beautiful. Wow.
The concept of time, right? How long does it take to do this? I don't, you know.
Yeah. I mean, time is just a blur for me at the moment in terms of painting. It's just everything takes a long, long time.
But it suspends time too, right? And I imagine you feel very fulfilled after like a long day's worth of painting, right?
Yeah, today I do. Not always, but yeah, definitely today I do. Did you find that during the pandemic, time was both extremely slow, but all of a sudden 2 years is gone and that was really quick? It's like a really weird relationship with time at the moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. It's just, you know, we measure it based on, you know, the sun going up and down and our relation to it. And it's just not, it's just a construct really, right? Like what is the past 2 years? Like to me, I guess it's, you know, also not changing your environment, like not that much movement makes you feel like time hasn't passed as much.
Right. Yep. Yeah, and until I see my friend's kids and they're like 3 years old, I'm like, well, that's how I judge a time, how bad of a friend I've been and not seen their kids.
It is weird. I mean, yeah, it is weird when obviously you haven't seen people and then they're an adult.
For sure. Hey, massive congratulations on your album titled And Those Who Were Seen Dancing. Absolutely love it. It's fantastic. I just absolutely love all your music. You're one of my all-time favorites, actually.
It's amazing. I can't believe it.
You make really beautiful things.
Wow, thank you. That's really, really nice.
How about the title? And those who are seen dancing. It's quite a unique title. How'd you come up with that?
It's this Nietzsche quote, which also recently it's been brought to my attention that maybe wasn't Nietzsche, which is fine. But it's a quote that I knew to have been Nietzsche saying, and those who were seen dancing were thought to be insane by those who could not hear the music.
Right. Right.
And just love, I love the imagery that brings to mind. It's just, it's very open to interpretation, and it can resonate with anyone on different levels. It's a metaphor for anything, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, a reminder to like be true to yourself and like, you know, dance to and walk to the beat of your own drum, and, you know, not pay attention to people that maybe you're judging you or thinking that you're crazy, because you're not.
Absolutely, that's a beautiful quote, actually. Yeah, and it does actually give you a lot of visual imagery of just I mean, dancing's a funny thing, isn't it? It doesn't really have a point other than just to be done. I think that's an Alan Watts a whole Alan Watts thing. He talks about dancing. There's no end goal. There's no you're just doing. You're just in the process of, and that is the goal.
Yeah. Incidentally, a lot of most of this album was recorded in Chislehurst, which is where Alan Watts is from.
Really? Amazing. Yeah. Fantastic.
I'm glad that somehow that energy is.
Yeah. Being, it's coming through.
Yeah. Right. That's so cool.
Yeah. Tell us about the album. It's beautiful, and it's also quite, it's different to a lot of your other stuff. You know, it's definitely still sounds like Tess Parks, but there's quite a few different elements, I guess, to it. A bit more like possibly like electronic influence in there, or synthiness, and like I love the track Brexit at Tiffany's, which is like a spoken word kind of thing with like a really cool Dawesy kind of loop in there. Just really fantastic. Tell us about putting the album together.
Thanks. You know, a lot of the music for this album was in collaboration with the band, Rory and Francesco and Mike and Ryan. And yeah, Ryan is like a beats master, the beats on the album are very like, you know, very like much his influence and his from his contribution and his, you know, yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, hearing the sounds of like all of your friends like putting something together. And then, you know, yeah, we didn't end up making the album the way we wanted to. Essentially, it was in their mind we were making demos. In my mind, I'm recording things because I'm making an album. So we weren't even on the same page when it came to like what we were actually. It was just like fun. After tour, we were just like recording because we were all like fresh off tour and really like gelling as a band. And then, yeah, I mean, I ended up, you know, being in Canada, the pandemic, and just time went on, didn't get back to the UK for 2 years. And eventually, so by like October 2020, March 2021, we finished the album. It was like, but, you know, that was without the people that I had like initially made it with, obviously the band, and then brought it to my friend Josh, who mixed it in my first album. And I don't know. Yeah, I'm really glad people are responding to it, because it literally, I think, took years off of my life stressing about it and like worrying whether it was like the right thing to even release, because I knew that we could make something better if the circumstances were different, but this is what we have. And why would I judge that? And it was just, yeah, a lot of like conflicting inner conversation within. I don't know. I'm really glad it's out there and working on new things and can be free from it.
By circumstance, you kind of just mean the circumstances of the pandemic and the state of the world, not being able to, I don't know. Is that kind of what you're referring to?
Yes. And then there's also, you know, there's been like, I mean, all the social and political, just everything in the world, like, you know, it didn't for a long time there, and it still doesn't necessarily sit right with me to promote anything heavily or to, you know, be like, hey, pay, you know, I mean, I've kind of had to rationalize it as like, okay, you know, if you've made your path in life to be an artist and there are things that are bad going on in the world, like, doesn't mean you stop doing that, you know, and it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you have to stop doing that. And, you know, I think our contribution is to be potentially like a moment of reprieve amongst all of the horrible things that are happening. And there need to be artists to, you know, it's heavy. It's just, but then, yeah. So again, it's been like this inner kind of conflict where it's like, yes, it's nice to share things, but also it's not necessarily the right time to share things because, you know, yeah, people are being murdered and, you know, a lot of people are dying from this illness and just, I'm still struggling with it, to be honest. It just doesn't seem in this day and age, like, I don't know, everyone, priorities have changed tremendously, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could almost make the opposite argument that it's never been more needed, you know, beautiful art to kind of enter the world. There's this like, I've said this a few times on this podcast, there's this like Ramdas meditation that I kind of used to do. And part of that meditation is like, focusing on the breath, but as you're breathing in, you imagine all the air is like darkness and you're breathing it all in. And then when you exhale, it's all light and you're just like showering light back to the world. So you're taking it in and it's a big kind of process. I just recently heard a beautiful podcast with Grimes, actually, the musician Grimes. And she was also talking about how motherhood kind of, it just reframed everything for her. She didn't feel the need to make dark art as much anymore, and just put out lightness. And I think it's never been more needed. You know, fantastic music in these times.
I'm trying to remember that more and more, and it's a daily practice of mine to just remember that. You know, yeah, it's important, and you know, there's space for all of us to have our own unique creative contributions, and not all of our time needs to be devoted on thinking of the atrocities of, you know, the world constantly. Yeah. I try not to watch the news. I don't know if I feel like you don't really watch the news either.
Check the headlines, but try not to. Yeah, like, that's kind of.
I don't let hours pass. You know, like. Mm. I think a lot of people have gone either way. It's either like people are like obsessed with the news now because there's always something horrible to know about, or it's just like, actually, no, my mental health can't allow for it. I, you know, if something's really important, I'll hear about it from someone that cares about me enough to tell me that something's going on.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah. I'm just trying to find ways to help in my own way. And still trying to figure out like the best, I don't know. Yeah. It's hard.
Well, it's a funny thing, like art and creative, like art is in creativity, art, music, whatever. You know, I a long time ago went through a stage where I was thinking, you know, making art is the most like selfish thing I could do. Like, you got all these people out there, doing social work and feeding the poor, and I'm just like sitting in my studio just trying to break through these new ideas. But, you know, so there's that way of looking at it, but there's also you completely take for granted how special and unique what you do is and how much joy that actually does and can and does give other people. And it does give other people like hope. It does give other people I'm not referring to my art. I'm just talking about like your art or anyone's art. It's it reaches people all over the world.
I need to really start talking to myself the way I would like a best friend, because I would never be like, hey, like, you shouldn't be doing art, you know. It's like and especially, yeah, I think, you know, there are reasons why we make art, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, just a highly sensitive person just maybe can't go out there and be, you know, like my emotion. There's space for all of us to be who we are at the end of the day. I think I'm just going to live with that.
Yeah, for sure. this album was kind of, I read that making it has kind of been spanned out over like what, the last 5 or so years or something like that?
Well, I mean, essentially it was like August 2019 to March 2021, but the bulk of it was August and September 2019, like a few sessions, like, you know, yeah, probably like recorded in like 14 days, I guess, total.
Oh, wow.
With, I mean, no, it's really hard to like gauge time and how even this project even got done. Like, I'm still baffled that like, yeah, I mean, Jack, who's the label manager at Fuzz Club, sent me a video the other day of like the CD. And I was like, just completely disassociated. I was like, that's crazy. Like, I can't believe that from A to B, like that, it just, that exists. I just don't know. And it's different from painting, right? The painting has been really liberating for me because not relying on like, a village to get things done. So it's another really like, yeah, just beautiful therapeutic art form. And it's empowering to be able to decide when something's finished. And it's only you that gets to put your energy into it. And sometimes it is nice to just like have something that's yours.
Yeah, only absolutely. Sometimes. You went to art school, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I went to an arts high school, Earl Haig in Toronto. Shout out to Earl Haig. And so took like life drawing there, took drama classes, ballet, like improv. We were, yeah, very lucky. That was a really cool high school experience. And then I went to London to study photography at LCC for 1 year, and then I stopped because I just did.
Because damn music got in the way, huh?
Well, I feel like it's really unfair to grade anyone on their art, but I do see the benefits of having like amazing tutors and having like a creative environment and peers to bounce off of. And I didn't really respect that or understand that as much when I was like 17, 18, obviously.
Oh, same, exactly the same. I hated art school every step of the way. I hated all my lecturers. I thought none, but yeah, you know, get a little bit older and you're like, oh, so it's quite beneficial actually.
Yeah. But then also if you're like autodidactic anyway, right. It's like you kind of know what you like and you just like gravitate towards that and you do your own like disciplined learning, which is what I've done since I dropped out essentially. So it's not like, yeah, I hope my brain isn't like just mush because of it.
I mean, mine's mush, but that's just, I've learned to live with that. Were you always playing music like as a child and stuff? Was clearly you've always been creative, but has music always kind of been a big part of your life?
Yeah. I mean, I did piano lessons like for a little bit, but didn't like my teacher and quit. Like, I'm just a quitter. I just like doing like things my way by the sounds of it. Yeah, I had piano lessons. I had some guitar lessons briefly. And then I took guitar in school too. There was this like a classical guitar class and I got a 74 in that class. And I was like, what the, you know, I've been playing guitar at that point for like 3 years. I don't know. Yeah, I was bummed to be graded on something that I was like enjoying so much, like in my spare time. Anyway, yeah, I always like was singing and, went to like a theater arts camp and did like, yeah, dabbled in being like a drama kid, like a theater kid. And I was like singing and dancing and performing. And I don't know if that's too much for me. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'd do like a Broadway musical someday. Just to challenge myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Write your own one.
Why not?
That'd be fantastic. So what kind of music were you listening to early on? And when did you start? When did you start really kind of developing your own style?
Oasis. I love Oasis. Mm-hmm. Just listened to a lot of like rock and roll growing up with my dad. And, I guess, yeah, I started writing songs more intently on guitar in high school. And yeah, I wrote like Life Is But a Dream when I was 13.
One of my favorites.
My first album. Love, you know, and I wish I could tap into like, and I, well, that's why I like go backwards, you know, like I find lyrics I wrote when I was young, because that's, you're closer to like the source when like the younger you are or like the older you are, you know. I feel like the in-between bit is when I'm like, I feel like I've been like flailing a little bit. I'm like, where do I belong? What is this? You know? And so going back to like these old lyrics really like grounds me. And I don't know, they're so like simple and thoughtful, but like innocent, and came from like just nowhere quickly. Sorry, I forgot the question. I just went on a total,
No, I mean, me too, but yeah. Yeah, that, I mean,
but yeah, so my sound really developed. I was like emulating, like trying to sound like Sean Marshall, Cat Power, quite a bit, trying to sing like that. And I would sing along to Oasis in equal measure, I guess. And yeah, I don't know. I guess I found my voice, the voice that I sing with now, around like 15, 16, and started like messing with GarageBand. And
You have such a beautiful, unique singing voice. There's not too many. I don't know. There's not too many like it, really. It's this really, I don't know, a mix of really beautiful, but also this kind of like, I'm sure you've heard every term, raspy harshness, or I'm not sure. I was actually kind of wondering, is it kind of a strain on your vocal cords to really bring that
no
out? No,
it's weird. I think the later in the day and like the more talking I do, right, you know, like if I think recording like vocals probably at 1 a.m after like a day of like singing and talking is probably like the best way for me to get the most out of my voice. But I've never actually, like, it's always been like, okay, like 9 a.m like let's do vocals, and it's like, what? No, like it's not gonna sound right at all. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, just I quit smoking too, so I feel like my voice sounds very like sweet and innocent now compared to like, you know. But
did that like help smoking? Like, did that kind of help with that raspy, harsh kind of sound?
Initially, but then
or
obviously
even partying, like having a big weekend.
No, not at all. I think, yeah, it's foolish to do those things, and it's just unhealthy. And obviously, if you're a singer, then you want to take care of your body and your voice particularly. So I'm doing that now, and I want to be able to sing and just not fuck it up, really. Mm.
It's really interesting what you're saying about, I don't know, getting lyrics from when you're younger and being close to the source or whatever. Yeah, that's I've never really kind of thought about that. And yeah, I wonder what that is. I wonder what the filters that we all kind of just apply to ourselves and get too self-conscious as we get older, or whatever it is, that's kind of, hard to tap into. But because, you know, I often just see things that I did when I was younger as really, really cringe. But, you know, I don't write.
Really?
I don't. Well, yeah. I mean, I like the braveness sometimes. But, also I don't write or make music. So there's something. So I imagine with music there's something very instantaneous sometimes. There's some magic that you can actually just capture.
Yeah, I think so. But it's the same with painting, right? Like, yeah, there are things like, okay, for instance, this up here, but I did this when I was 9, but ever since then I've been trying to do this again. I'll send you a proper photo of it, but it's actually like, it's the most inspired thing I've ever done. And so like, I've been trying to like emulate like the way that I draw like the sun, for example. I've been trying to draw it like this, I don't know, like that, for example, right? It kind of looks like the head of the girl there that I drew.
Yeah.
I was really inspired by like Picasso and stuff. But I feel like, you know, as a painter, where you just kind of, it's like the most playful, like kind of youthful thing that we can allow ourselves to do.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like, you're really vibing painting these days, huh?
So very much. Yeah. It's just,
that's great. Would you work towards an exhibition or anything, or is it just more just a personal thing?
I would love to have an exhibition. But yeah, I think initially it started off as like a personal thing, and it was so cool to have this, like, you know, kind of newfound interest in myself as well as like what I can do with my hands, and like, you know, just, I don't know, just a cool new exploration of self. And then coming back to singing, I'm like, wow, like that's another amazing, like, I don't know, it's just amazing to have a voice. It's amazing to have eyes and hands, and I just want to use them and be, just express my gratitude for living by creating as much as I can every day.
Is your painting kind of process just extremely intuitive, or is there anything that you're really kind of trying to say or put out there, or have you put a whole lot of like intellectualized thought into that, or it's just like, this is just coming out?
Initially it was just coming out, and now, yeah, the meaning of it and like it presents itself to me. It's similarly the way that songs present themselves. Just starting, and then I don't plan it. You just start and then see what happens. And it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was young, that was just the most, well, everyone's playing sport. That was the most fun thing for me, was just to get a big stack of A4 paper and just kind of churn my way through it, and just, yeah, never knew what was coming out.
Right? It's so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're really beautiful, and they seem like they're, the dot work and stuff is just, I don't know how to even describe it. Like, for the listeners who might not be seeing it, it's like a beautiful playfulness, a lot of like suns and light. They're very uplifting.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you said that, because I'd like them to be uplifting. I put a lot of my favorite ones on the walls, I guess. But there's another guy.
Well, they're really fantastic.
I love yours too. We should have a trade.
Thank you. Definitely. Oh my god, would love that. Would absolutely love that.
Or a group show.
Oh hell yeah! I'll organize one in Australia. Get you down here.
Yeah, you know, one of my best friends from school, growing up, Sophia, she lives 4 hours from Melbourne, so it's not really that cool. But she lives in like a small climbing community. I forget the name, but maybe you know it.
Like rock climbing?
Yeah.
She's not in the Grampians, is she? Does that sound familiar?
I don't know if I'd remember if I said it, but if I heard the name. But I'll ask her and I'll find out, because, yeah.
Yeah. So your music, you've done a large chunk of your body of work has been, working with Anton Newcombe, one of my all time favorites as well. Brian Jonestown Massacre is just, I mean, I think the Brian Jonestown Massacre just completely turned me on to psych rock and never looked back after that. I think it was like Dig when I first saw it. I'm like, you know, because I liked the Danny Warhols at the start. And then, yeah, once I found Anton Newcombe and all that, it's just like, this is like almost better than the 60s rock. You know, it's just like finely tuned it. How did you meet Anton, and what's it like working with him?
Well, yeah, oh my god. So yeah, he's prolific. But I met Alan McGee, and he was asking me like what I was into, what bands I liked, and I was like, Brian Jonestown Massacre, Spaceman 3, and he's like, oh yeah, I know Anton. Like, I was like, whoa, like, you know Anton? Like, what a scary dude. He must, you know, like, where is he now? Like, you know, I feel like a lot of people didn't know, like, he was still alive even sometimes, right? Right.
Well, Dig paints him out to be very extremely eccentric, and
Yeah, I mean, the power of editing. Incidentally, and I'm sure he's talked about this publicly, but Dig was going to be like an MTV show.
Oh, right.
It was meant to be like one of the first reality shows, but it was too much. I don't know if that was if that's public knowledge, maybe. Anyway, but so yeah, I was heading to Berlin February 2014 to visit my friend Emeka, who had just kind of recently moved there, and I hadn't seen him in a while. And he's just a great poet, and he had moved to Berlin. And around my album, my first album had come out in November 2013, and Anton had started like retweeting stuff. I guess because he's like friends with Alan, and you know, whatever, he had heard about me through Alan. And I was like, wow, like, thank you so much. Like, I'm a huge fan. Like, you're like, I wish my music sounded like yours. And he was like, oh, like, you know, if you're coming to Berlin, like, let's record a song. So yeah, I went to the studio and we recorded Mama first, or Vemit first. Like within like 5 minutes of meeting him, he's like, okay, play something, here's a guitar. And I think we recorded Mama first. And then those two songs were great. So we found the time in September later that year to make an album. And I think, we recorded for like under 2 weeks, made the first album.
I Declare Nothing, right? That's just a phenomenal album, really. I've just been flogging that for years. Doesn't get old at all.
I love those records. And still just kind of in disbelief that I ever, because I watched Dig when I was a kid. Like, it was just like this weird, it's weird to enter a world you never thought you'd ever get a glimpse of, really.
So you've done two albums and an EP with him, and also like a whole number of Brian Jonestown Massacre songs as well. So like, again, that must be like dream come true, right? Like your favorite band, now you're in it. Were you ever actually in the Brian Jonestown Massacre? Because it seems the more that I look into it, the more features you actually, I still haven't been able to track down every feature that you're in, but they're just more and more seem to pop up.
Yeah. I was never a part of the band, but I wrote lyrics for some songs and performed with them a few times. Playing with them in Toronto was cool. I jumped on stage for a few songs for that.
Amazing.
And we played in Manchester. I don't know. Yeah. Just it's what a trip.
Cool. I know these guys must be friends of yours and stuff, but like, how are they to work with? Are they as chaotic as it's been kind of presented? Are they like, just, have they settled down in their later years, or is it a whirlwind?
I think sensationalist television, editing, whatever. But I also didn't know him at that time period. I only knew him as like, kind of more, calmed down, married with child, right, healthy, like cooking meals, recording music every day. And definitely not that same experience at all.
Yeah.
Very different.
Yeah. You didn't sing in that fantastic track Pish, did you?
I wrote the words for that song,
really?
But it's actually Katie Newcomb singing.
Wow.
It might be my voice somewhere layered in there quietly, but it's more Katie's voice that's prominent.
Oh, Tess, you've literally been involved in some of like my favorite songs of all time. That's just amazing.
That's wild.
Really, really, really great. Really great stuff.
I feel like honored to have you say that.
I'm sure many, many do, really. But yeah, amazing body of work. Do you find is collaborating a challenging thing for you? Do you like total control when you're making music, or do you actually just think, bring it on and see what you can take from all these experiences?
I think it never works well to be like a control freak. I think like collaboration and just like, compromise is ideally what the world needs more of. And I don't know. I don't like arguing over like whether something's like a pretty idea or not. It's like, I'm not willing to argue when it comes to like you know, playing, right? It's play. It's just, it's just fun. It's a bit of fun. Like, we could be working, like, doing like so many other worse jobs, you know? So like, to ever argue about something that we're, that you're creating together, I just like, I'll step out of anything, I think, at this point, where if it's going to be like a power struggle, I think in future I would just step out of that scenario, because it's just not nice.
That's cool hearing you say, like, yeah, it is about play and keeping that kind of at the forefront, because it seems like, you know, so many amazing albums throughout history, or like, you know, more like in contemporary history, like you say, they're kind of recorded in a weekend, it sounds, and sometimes they're just really raw and rough, and then some bands end up just kind of trying to, like, the more successful they get, the more money is and influence is there, and they're kind of trying to really recreate or craft this thing, but you're on the risk of losing the magic there, I guess.
Yeah, honestly, I really love the, it's just like, make it onto the next thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's why working with Anton.
I'm with you there. Yep.
Yeah. And I think that's why I work so well with Anton, because he works like that too. It's not like, okay, let's overthink this to the point where it's like, not, never want to listen to this again, you know?
Mm.
It's just like, okay, that's a done song. What's the next thing? What does this sound like? And then, obviously. I don't know, everyone's different. Sometimes, like, you know, one painting. I mean, yeah, it just depends on what you're making, I guess, and what your process is.
For sure. I don't know. I'm really bad with genres. I don't know if you kind of call your stuff psych rock, psych pop. There's lots of different kind of, or psychedelic folk even. I don't know, lots of different things. But the one word that kind of often is pretty consistent there is like psychedelic. I'm wondering, in terms of like psychedelic rock in that kind of, I don't know, genre of music, what it kind of means to you? What makes it psychedelic and not just rock? Or are these just terms that you don't really like overly care about?
I just think everything in the world is psychedelic, and everything is, you know, like, it's all a simulation, right? So, you know, everything, like, yeah, if someone wants to call it jazz, they can. Like, it just is whatever anyone wants to call it. And I'm happy with whatever anyone's labeling anything, really, as long as I don't know. Yeah, I'm just grateful to be part of that conversation at all, really, because I grew up, like, you know, having all of these heroes, these musician heroes, and then, you know, like, working with some of them, so everything's just a bonus. I just feel really, like, lucky to, if you want to call it psychedelic folk rock pop, I'm so happy.
Well, I was just trying to, like, kind of, you know, just in preparing for this, kind of actually define what psych rock is in my own, just for my own self. And I was like, well, you know, there's a lot of like note bending and dreamy kind of reverb and stuff. But I was thinking maybe it's actually just a lot of it is kind of this, it has this kind of heart that's almost like an ode to the 60s and 70s almost as its base point. Not all, obviously, there's like all sorts of music, but yeah, I was wondering whether like a time frame like the 60s or something is important in your inspiration or anything like that.
Yeah, I think maybe when I first started like performing music and playing music, I was very much like, you know, I only listened to like 60s psych, or, you know, just started getting very niche genre-y. But I think now, yeah, anything goes. I'm inspired by like all the genres, all the decades.
Yeah.
Beethoven.
Well, yeah, your new album, I think, reflects that a lot more. You know, it is kind of jumping around. It's not one thing, I don't think. Yeah, which is great.
It's Frankenstein. I have no clue.
It's playful. It's fun. It's, dare I say the word, eclectic. I kind of hate that term, but no, it's fantastic. Who are your heroes? You've mentioned Oasis. But yeah, who are like your musical influences and heroes?
My parents, and my sisters, even though, yeah, they're not professional musicians, but, yeah, I mean, Noel Gallagher was the first person I saw, you know, play an acoustic guitar and like go on a stage by himself. And that's what made me think, okay, I'm going to do that. I like that. It sounds really good. And, you know, it's like going into a record store and you're like, what do I listen to? And you just, I'm blanking.
Yeah.
Who are my heroes?
Well, I loved, like I said before, Brexit at Tiffany's. It really has a kind of Doorsy kind of feel to it, which I really loved. Yeah. Jim Morrison forever. So great.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. Beautiful.
I need to like look at all the, Bob Dylan, Neil Young. I don't know.
I was flicking through your Instagram today actually, and I stumbled across really bad news that the lead singer of the Psychic Ills died a few years ago, which I had no idea about. And they were I love that band. I really love that band. When I was doing an artist residency in Berlin, I was actually like. Again, yeah, I've gone through, I've flirted with the idea of music many times, but never actually dedicated any hard time. And I was basically just kind of trying to like emulate his vocals myself, doing it really, really badly. But yeah, wonderful band. Were they, they were a big influence for you? Or
definitely. Mm. I love that. Their music really inspired me. And one of the first, like, bands I ever opened for in Toronto when I was first starting out with my band. And yeah, that was a tremendous loss. I really was looking forward to seeing them again. Like I saw that band live so many times, like in so many different places. And that was a big loss. It's,
they're not Canadian, are they?
No. They were New York based.
Yep. Just get around to many gigs then. Well, how great that you got to perform for them. One of your early career. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I actually asked Trace to mix my first album. We didn't end up going with that because it was very last minute. Like, didn't even know the album was supposed to be ready and like sent off to like. So yeah, it was a very last minute, but we had discussed it. So I wonder what that would have sounded like.
What? Sorry, was that like a collaboration with them?
If Trace had mixed the first album.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Essentially, yeah.
Well, I mean, your first album's perfect just the way it is. But yeah, that would have been cool as well.
Yeah. Definitely something to wonder about.
Hmm. You have a title of your track is Do You Pray? And I was wondering, do you pray, Tess? I know I've seen a few Be Here Nows in your Instagram feed, and we just talked about Alan Watts a bit. I was wondering, do you pray?
I have my daily rituals. I mean, I think I try to remain in like a constant state of like grace and prayer, like open to, you know, if that makes sense. Yeah. I feel like I'm constantly praying and subconsciously, just trying to live within alignment. And it's a practice, but I think I'm getting the hang of it more than ever. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Growing up.
I'm a spiritual binger. I dive in and I really immerse myself, and then I just completely abandon ship and just get caught up with the chaos of life.
Right? So. Yeah. Am I right to think that you like studied with Ram Dass at one point, or some affiliation?
I went to his retreat twice and got to meet him, which was Probably the high point of my life. I mean, just in terms of obviously meeting him was a massive high point, but I just feel like energetically I felt like I was in a very high place for a prolonged period of time. There's something really was very strange being around him. It's like, I don't know if you know, like Duncan Trussell, the comedian and podcaster, he always talks about, he's like, he's a love radiator, man. And he literally was. He literally is. There's a strong energy around that guy.
Wow.
The real deal. Rick Rubin was actually at the retreat when I was there, and I didn't know who he was. He just walked past me, and he's got such a look to him. I was like, who is that guy? That guy's has a presence. And then someone was like, that's Rick Rubin. But I was like, who's that? I didn't know who he was.
That's terrible. I mean, it's kind of cool not to, right?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
But wow, Ram Dass, I feel like, yeah, I've never spoken to someone that's met Ram Dass either, so.
Oh, I mean, I was just like a little groupie.
You're creating that energy also.
That's my life goal. That's my life goal. Whenever I feel like I'm, whenever I'm feeling down in the dumps or not amazing or biting the bait of drama, just kind of trying to think what would Ram Dass do? As cheesy as that sounds, what would the he's helped me just every. He's the teacher that I just keep going back to. You know, whenever things get muddled, it's just put on some Ram Dass.
And then Thich Nhat Hanh also was a personal favorite.
Mm.
He recently passed also. I think it was New Year's, Christmas, around the same time that Ram Dass did, about a year later.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it's like all these people that I wanted to, you know, go to their retreats eventually, and now I don't know where to go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they're still doing the Ram Dass retreats, right?
Yeah, they are. It's I mean, I intend to go back again because the people are just so wonderful, and there's a real come as you are kind of feel to it. There's no, like, you know, I was smoking joints with like 70 and 80 year old like grandmas on the beach, and it was just no judgment. It's just like, cool, you know. So let's sneak off.
How could anyone ever judge that?
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. Like, there's no totally come as you are, all your impurities and all, as I say that in inverted commas, because that was a big thing for Ram Dass with his teacher. Neem Crawley Baba would look at him and say, I see no impurities. But amazing teacher, and very, very grateful to have spent any time. But
that's so cool. So cool. Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just cool to know that it's possible, right? Like, it's not all fluff. There's so many gurus and teachers, and then they end up coming out that they were, you know, involved in horrible sex scandals, and you know what I mean? No. Like, there's so many grifters around. There's so many, like,
there was that one. Was it the hot yoga guy who kind of just
Bikram? Is that him? Mr. Bikram? Yeah, he's a knucklehead for sure. But yeah, it is nice. I think a lot of people thought I was joining a cult when I went over there. But I was like, sign me up. I'll join the cult.
If you're gonna join a cult, it's gonna be Ram Dass's.
Yeah, for sure.
Literally.
Yep. Yeah. I was bummed when I first got onto Alan Watts and I realized he died. It felt like every time I found a new teacher, they died. And I was like, ah. Just missed out.
So interesting, right? I kind of experienced similar things periodically throughout my life. And it's like, what does this mean?
Mm.
Why? Weird. But yeah, I guess more teachers present themselves.
Yeah. I mean, do you have like a go-to or a top five or anything that
Definitely, yeah, Ram Dass, Thich Nhat Hanh. Recently, I've been listening to Tara Brach's podcast, which is incredible.
I don't know her.
She's within that lineage. I think you'll really appreciate her. I'll send you. And Joe Dispenza, I've been listening to quite a bit of Joe Dispenza recently. Osho, Rumi.
Osho is a funny one, hey, because like there's actually so much of what he said that that's great. You know, he's got great teachings, really great teachings. You would have seen Wild Wild Country, right?
Oh no, I have not. Oh. But I started.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe just don't.
So is that another crazy story? It's not good.
So crazy. So crazy. But that's the funny thing about him, because his teaching's good. Like, it's really, it's a quite a strange.
Brilliant.
I haven't read a
pretend
whole
pretend you're
whole
headless
bunch.
Love it. Love it.
But yeah, he used to rock around in Rolls Royces and like had a massive what do you call it, the expensive watches.
Watch?
Yeah,
Rolex.
Roller. He had like a huge Rolex collection. He's just like a baller. What? And he was like,
okay,
his whole thing was like, I think saying that you know, you can have all this materialism and it still doesn't do anything. But it's kind of like a, well, yeah, you can say that, but you're bawling. Are you loving this or are you proving a point? I don't know. Got a little gray area there.
I guess I need to follow through and watch this, but maybe it'll make me, I take Osho back then, I guess.
No.
I'm very influenced by painters as well. I think Chagall's paintings and Van Gogh.
Van Gogh is one of my all-time favorites. There's something.
And then you. Sorry.
No, there's just something so. Yeah, like to the source, something so psychedelic and trippy about that guy. You know, his vision. It's just. It's almost like something extremely breakthrough about that I think still just captures people today. As cliche as it is to say he's one of my, you know, Van Gogh is one of my favorite artists. It just totally is.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Do you know Corita Kent?
No.
I think I have some things to send you, but Corita Kent was a nun. She was a nun and an art teacher, but she made really beautiful art herself. And there's a series of books by an author called Joseph Pintaro, and she illustrated his poetry. And also this other artist from Montreal called Norman Laliberté, he illustrated this series of books. And they're, the closest things that I found to be here now, I suppose, like just absolutely like spiritually overwhelming and with like images and like just the most beautiful words that, you know, say everything so succinctly and perfectly. I'll send you some cool things. I'll make a list to include. I don't know how to.
Yeah, please do. I mean, kind of like on your art and painting, and I guess your journey into like art and painting, I was reading on your Spotify bio that it mentioned, and I don't know if you don't want to get into this, totally fine, but it mentioned that you had some kind of accident and were unable to play music for a while. Was that kind of a part of your journey into visual art?
Yeah, definitely. For a long time there, did not feel musically inclined in the slightest, wanted to be in silence, like sound. I felt very hyper-vigilant and didn't want to wear headphones. It was a lot of quiet solitude and watching different colors fall on a canvas for time, weird.
I mean, that must have been quite an identity crisis as well, right?
But in a way, it was an identity. It was like
liberation.
I found my identity. If anything, I feel like I actually needed that in order to really get to know myself properly. And it also, do you know about like Saturn return? It was kind of in conjunction with my Saturn return, and it makes a lot of sense. And I'm grateful for all of the, you know, the things that maybe at the time were, I could have perceived them as being bad or why me? But actually it's been a very interesting start to a new chapter and journey, and it just is what it is, right? You know, like I find it really hard now when people are like, I should have done this, or that should have been like that. Like, that's a waste of your breath and everyone's time when you're talking like that.
Sure.
So trying to like really like be as forward thinking as ever.
Man, there is something so like wise in that. Choosing to see it as there's this quote, I think Ram Dass may have said it, but it was about like the, I won't even try, I'll just butcher it, but it was along the lines of a man bought a lottery ticket and then his friend said lucky you, and he said maybe, and then with that money he bought a car, and then his friend said like lucky you, he's like oh maybe, and then he crashed the car. And then he's like, oh, that's unlucky. He's like, maybe. And then because he crashed the car. Anyway, it just goes on and on and on. And the whole point was not, I guess he wasn't really attached or to the negative or the positive outcome, because both ways led to something else, led to more disaster and far more success. So, yeah, anyway, long-winded.
No, yeah, totally.
I said that far less poetically than the quote.
I've heard it. I definitely know what you mean for sure.
But there is something very difficult in that, right? Like choosing to see it progressively and forward thinking.
The alternative is that you're stuck in a spiral of like just upset, right? Like if you're not content with what has transpired, then you can't be happy in the moment. So it is just radical acceptance kind of is the only way forward if you're feeling like life isn't perfect already. And it is really hard, and it is a practice, and it's like it might be lucky, it's part of your karma, it's part of your lessons, and it'll keep maybe coming up again until you learn the lesson if you didn't that time too, right?
Absolutely.
So life is very exciting.
Is photography photography still a big part of your life? I noticed that you kind of keep like a photograph diary, or, you know, kind of document trips and things and put them up online.
You know, I haven't updated my website since like 2018, and I'm really ashamed of this because I've obviously had a lot of time in the past 4 years to do that. But love documenting. And sometimes there's so much going on in life that you can even forget if you're not documenting. So it's just nice to have as many memories as possible in different, and paintings too. I'm sure you're like, this reminds me of this time period. And so just the more the merrier for me, the more ways that I can like see how I've measured time in different periods of time is it's an interesting, just is what it is. Yeah, I don't know.
I loved your series on words, of just like a combination of, you know, just thoughts scribbled on a bathroom wall and graffiti, or just signs that always just have a lot of the ones that you pick to focus on will have, you know, a nice optimistic or maybe poetry to it.
Yeah, I think I have the largest collection of thing like words that I found on the street more than anything. But I take them like as everything as a sign, right? Like when you're reading something, you know, I'm always very conscious of it and try to like, you know, take it on board and see like what it means for the rest of the day or the week or the month. You know, it's all
Yeah.
If you're seeing it, it's for you, maybe, right?
So, yeah. So you're a believer in synchronicity and things like that?
I live for it. Yeah, it gives only purpose to my life. It's the only thing that makes life make sense to me.
It's the weirdest phenomenon, isn't it? It's like, because you can't, it's one of those things like logically you can explain it away, you know, coincidence exists and, you know, what are the odds and blah, blah, blah. But it seems they pop up when you're listening, right? Like, or you're in a really, really good place, or you're in a good, fulfilled spiritual high. Like it, when you're naturally high, a lot of like synchronicity or synchronistic things start to happen. I imagine it sounds like your career has been loaded with synchronicities from reading your bio, from, you know, meeting Alan McGee and things, and being drawn to the UK and just kind of going with the flow. It seems that seems very much your style.
Yeah, I mean, I'm grateful that I have this kind of North Star, and also I think having any sort of belief or faith in anything, or, you know, believing in the universe and believing in the universe the way that I do with synchronicity, gives my life purpose. And like, it makes me want to wake up in the morning, and I literally, like, I live for it, because all day, every day when I'm in true alignment, it's constant, right? It's like the angel numbers, like 111, 222, 333 all day at the moments. And just, you know, walking down the street and you have a question in your head and someone like literally walks back past you and says yes, or, you know, just if you're really, really listening, like it, the world is communicating with you constantly. And, you know, yeah, I think having that kind of faith is, it's been very helpful for me.
Hmm. Just as you said, North Star, there's a star in one of your paintings behind you, which is kind of just above your head. just made me think. So yeah, exactly. Makes me think so many times I'll be talking to myself in my head, and then the music I'll be listening to, as I think a word, the word will say. I mean, I don't know what to do with that, you know.
it just means you're in alignment. You're in like the natural flow, and it's when you're not thinking about it or looking for it, right? It's like some people seek out so desperately. And I think the idea is to just surrender and relax, and like that radical acceptance. And then once you're really not expecting anything, and just, but you just assume that magic is going to be everywhere, then you do see magic everywhere.
Yeah.
I think the more you can be more, even more intentional about it, and it won't even surprise you as much, you know?
Yeah.
But it will, I don't know what, it's just, yeah. Wonderment, constant wonderment, really. So cool. Yeah.
Oh, I love it, Tess. You're giving me the feels. You're giving me the, it's good. It's good. Yeah, this is good energy that I needed to finish the day.
Same.
It's great. It's great.
Sam, what time is it there?
It's just after midnight here.
Oh, it's, damn.
It's,
wow.
It's getting real cold in Melbourne. How is it?
June 1st.
Yeah. Is it getting warm in Canada?
Yeah, it's actually the hottest day of the year so far.
Yeah, fantastic. probably the opposite here. Do you much like touring and stuff, or up like, you know, gigs and things when you're at home, or is it just like switch off time?
Right now, yeah, it's been a lot of just like family and practicing, getting ready for tour. I want to play more shows in Canada and play in the state. I just want to play everywhere. It'll be great.
Yeah,
can't wait.
Yeah. Wonderful.
And I really want to come to Australia.
Have you been?
No, I'd really, really like to.
I mean, it's pretty far. It's pretty far. We're literally on the, like, couldn't be further away.
And the moon, I didn't realize this until like embarrassingly recently. The moon looks different for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I noticed that when I was over in the States. Yeah. And the stars as well. The whole,
oh, weird.
Like, yeah. Different. The Southern Cross, I think, is upside down. It's pretty weird. It's pretty weird when you when you check out the stars when you're traveling.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
yep. Toilets flush backwards. All that.
That's wild. I mean, yeah, you're like moving like forwards and backwards in time too. Like just that, I mean, that in itself is time travel to me. I find that really just like.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Every time I book a American podcast guest, it's literally I'm in the day ahead. So I always got to.
Right.
Yep,
yeah. Yeah, but some people are like.
Hey, are you working on, I know you've just come out with an album, are you like planning on having a break creatively, or are you like in the flow, you just kind of keep pumping them out?
There's a whole other new like fresh set of songs, probably like two albums worth of songs.
Oh wow.
And I'm so excited because they're like 100,000 times better than what I've just released.
Wow.
So I'm like, yeah, the future seems bright. Like I'm really excited about the things I'm creating, like onwards. There's a level of like understanding within my, like a trust within myself that maybe I didn't have before. And yeah, I just think good work is coming.
Do you, when you're writing albums, do you think about them like a body of work, or do you just go song by song and just kind of, yeah, similar to your art, go by feel?
Yeah, I think it's all feeling based.
Mm.
I'm trying to like force myself more because obviously you can't like cancel plans for your whole life, but you know, sometimes you like have made plans to hang out with someone and you're like, I don't feel good today.
Yeah.
But I want to, you know, be true to my word and just be able to be like, okay, yeah, like I feel good every day and I'm going to like show up even when I don't feel like it necessarily. But what was your question? Sorry.
Oh, if you, you know, how you plan an album, you know, whether you,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all very, based on like, it's all very organic and whenever like the feeling feels right. Like I won't do vocals if I'm not in the right headspace. Cause I'm like, okay, well this is how it's going to sound for the rest of life. You know, like in this one recorded version, if you're putting out an album, that's how your voice is going to sound on this forever to people if they're hearing it. Right. It's just, that's crazy pressure. Moving forward, also don't want to think too much about that and want to be in a good mood enough every day to be able to just want to sing every day and nail it and not feel. But I think, yeah, it's that trust is really coming in now. So maybe it will be more thought out and as a body of work.
Oh. But hey, whatever you're doing is working. So just go with what's working. Yeah. Absolutely. Are you the style of kind of songs and that you're making at the moment, what's it kind of more in line with, or you just prefer to keep that under wraps until it's ready for release?
No, I mean, it's kind of like bringing it all back home again.
Yeah.
In my own way, like this all, yeah, lots more like, yeah, acoustic guitars again. And I'm really, really excited.
I really can't wait to hear. There's
a few songs where I'm just like, wow, like actually, yeah.
Fuck yeah. Can't wait.
I'll send you something.
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah. I would absolutely love that. Yeah. Hey, Tess, thank you so, so much for making the time. A real, real pleasure to meet you. Like I said, one of my all-time favorites. Just, you've done so much, so much amazing work, and I can't wait to hear more of it. And that's I was going to say if you ever want to show in Australia, but Australia's probably the last place you want to show.
No, why would it be?
I mean, for art, I was talking about.
I want all my paintings hung underneath the upside down moon.
Yeah.
Amazing. I can't wait.
Cool, cool. Well, I would be super keen to do an art swap one day. That sounds great.
Yeah. And it sounds like you wanted to dabble in music. So
yeah, it's just the whole talent thing I'm completely lacking there, but that's
I think what happened to you is someone probably told you at one point that like your voice wasn't good in choir, or like someone at some point put you down about your musical capabilities enough for you to just be like, hey, I'm not even gonna do that. Am I wrong?
I don't know. You know, I used to play piano, and I was doing all the exams, and I just failed one and quit.
Yeah,
and I really regret it, because like piano's the foundations, right? Like, what do you think's like the foundations of music? Pianos or drums? What do you think's most important to kind of learn as a kid?
That's a really good question. I think it'd be cool if every kid was like taught that innate rhythm, right? But also, I never learned how to read music properly, and I never like followed through with like traditional lessons. But I feel like, again, it sounds like maybe like, traditionally you were just like, it sounds like you just want to like, it's so intuitive that to learn the rules is a big mistake, right?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it anyway. Like, I just want to feel it out. And if I like hit a bum note, then I'll keep like practicing until I find the one that does work. But it's probably a lot more time consuming to do it that way rather than just like a crash course on like music theory.
Totally. Yeah, Tess, have yourself a fantastic day. Again, thank you so much for coming on. And how can people, what's the most beneficial way for you for people to consume your music? Is Spotify bottom of the list or?
Oh, I don't know. However they want to.
Yep.
Fine. Go to ultimateguitar.com and play it yourself. I don't know. Find the tabs.
Yeah. The album is And Those Who Were Seen Dancing. It's fantastic. I'd love to play a song at the end of this episode if you would be okay with that.
Sure, yeah.
Do you have a preference, or are you cool for me to pick?
Yeah, whatever you like. Yeah.
Fantastic. Nice one. Oh, well. Thank you so much, Tess.
Thank you, Jack.
Great. Have yourself a great day.
Thank you too. We'll speak soon.
Speak soon. Thanks, everyone. Bye. Thanks, mate. This is Icy Angels by Tess Parks.